everybody. This is Elisa Ivers, and I'm here with my co-host, David. David, say hi to everybody.
Hello.
And we are here to talk about movies. Movies is what we love. Movies has been our whole life, so we're going to go ahead and talk about them on this podcast. And if you like movies, then A, you should listen, and B, you should follow, because that's the polite thing to do. So definitely do that. Today, we're going to talk about biopics. David, tell us why we're going to talk about biopics today.
So there's a little movie coming out this Friday called Elvis.
Have you guys ever heard of Elvis? Because he was a big deal. But anyways, yeah, continue.
Yeah, one of the biggest, I think, well, that's why he's called the King of Rock and Roll, right?
I mean, he has Graceland. He's like, is there a theme park or is that just Dollywood?
No, I think that's just, I don't know. I maybe this might be one in Nashville.
I mean, imagine Vegas without Elvis. Like Elvis Presley, Chapel of Love, Elvis Presley impersonators. But you got to wonder a little bit if he is slowly falling out of the zeitgeist. And will this movie bring him back?
Oh, yeah.
We must discuss. So you're going to see this before I do. So how are you getting these exclusive tickets earlier than everyone else? Is it a secret?
No. And I'm not being sponsored by it, but just go to your Regal app, and if you're, you'll get the notification that, you know, special screening tonight, and, you know, all you got to do is get your tickets.
Okay, but real quick, I'm from Alaska, and we don't get everything early like you fancy LA, California people do.
And by the way, I don't think that it's... I don't know if it's just California or whatever. So
probably.
I mean, though. I'm fortunate. Yeah, I'm fortunate in that respect. And that's why on Friday, speaking of Elvis, I'm going to be, so tomorrow I'm going to be actually recording the spoiler cast. And by Friday, it will be up for your listening pleasure. But please go see the movie first.
See it first, guys. Like, don't let him spoil it for you. Now, Elvis is being directed by one of my favorite directors that doesn't do just any projects. He only does, like, basically what I like to say is, like, the Versace of movies. Like, it's so much, and it's over the top. And I love all of his movies he did, except for Australia. In fact, I totally forgot. I know his first name's Bass. Do you remember his last name? Sir, because I don't. And now this makes us sound like we're amateurs, but we're really not. You just have to understand, everybody, that we have so much movie trivia in our brains that we can't possibly remember absolutely everybody. So
Ludman, not Lumen. I just butchered his name, probably.
I'm going to call him Baz as if we're on first name basis. So Baz, I feel like, has made some of the most iconic movies that people, not necessarily critically acclaimed, but have been revered and also beloved by many people. Moulin Rouge, for instance, is probably his most popular that he ever did. It was Oscar nominated. It was a masterpiece. It took modern songs and, you know, made them into amazing soundtracks that people still love to this day. He did Romeo and Juliet, where he did it with Claire Danes and Leonardo DiCaprio. Claire Danes was like 13 at the time. It was crazy. And he did all of the original Shakespeare. He just loves to go all out. So this makes sense in my opinion for Elvis. Like, what do you think? Because like Elvis was, he did the most. Like he had capes. He had rhinestones. He had karate moves, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about that. There was another musician. And we'll get to him a little bit later. But there was another musician during that time that kind of had that same vibe.
Jerry Lewis?
Elton John.
Oh, Elton John, obviously.
Of course, he didn't dance because he was doing the piano.
He was too busy tickling the ovaries.
His costumes are second to none.
Right. Actually, I would say, let's think about this right now really quick. We didn't, like, rehearse this, ladies and gentlemen. But, like, I would say Elvis and Elton John, for men, have the most iconic outfits. And then I'd say Lady Gaga, obviously, for women. Like, she just kind of, again, she does the most. There will be a biopic about her someday, long after she's dead, and so are we probably. you know, like these are just, there are people who are performers and then there are people who are like performers, you know, like with a capital P for performing. And I feel like Elvis was one of those people. So you're going to see it tonight. I'm excited to hear just literally what your thoughts are without any spoilers. But before we get to that, I want to say that now last week we talked about Pixar, right?
Yes.
So you saw Lightyear and you had a lot of rave reviews with no spoilers, essentially. It did not do well in IMDb, sir. It did not do well.
Yeah.
But this is personal choice.
No. And you know, so I talked about this in the spoiler cast. I think there were a couple of factors. So Lightyear ended up making $51 million. And
was that what did we predict?
It was projected at about 70 to 85.
Okay. That's, didn't reach it.
There's a couple of reasons here. Number one, I think the bad, and I'm quickly going to run through these. Number one, I think it was a bad publicity. Okay. Because of what the whole overseas with what the United Arab Emirates wanted to do and everything else. That's number one. Number two, I think that Top Gun, that made $44 million last week.
It made way more than we thought it would.
And so it just crossed the $900 million. This movie is going to make $1 billion.
Oh my God, yeah.
$900 million today.
Guys, go back to the last podcast. We talk about this. Go ahead.
$44 million last week. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then on top of that, you had Jurassic World, which frankly outperformed, making $57.3 million.
It really did outperform.
So that being said,
it honestly wasn't a blitz. Like,
yeah. So that being said, if you take $20 million away from Top Gun, let's say 15, you know, 10 to 15, and you put that for Lightyear, now it's at the bare minimum of its projection. It's 65 or 70. So there you go.
So you're saying, no, but listen, I don't believe personally this has anything to do with IMDb reviews. Now, you know that IMDb is my Bible. I will agree with that one 9 times out of 10. Now, if you were to ever decide whether you want to watch a movie, what review outlet do you like to go off of? Is it IMDb? Is it Rotten Tomatoes? Or
wow, it got a 5.1?
Yeah, it's bad. It's not good, David. I don't want to watch it.
But see, here's the thing, though. Okay, what I'll say is this. This reminds me of Justice League, where a movie that should have made $1 billion, but that's a whole other thing. But here's the thing. That movie critically was bombed. The critics hated it.
It was okay.
Yeah, but guess what? The fans loved it.
True.
And here's the thing. I mean, even the Snyder Cut. So that being said, I'm going to equate it to this. This is another movie where you can either, I mean, it was 25,000 people that rated this movie. So that being said, if the critics say, look, it's not that good of a movie, they're going to go out and see it. Now, on the flip side of the coin, you have a movie that's great. And how many times have you heard people come out of the theater and say, that movie sucked?
Yeah, they were like, what the fuck was that?
So,
like the dog one. What's it called? It went, sorry, excuse me. But like you, I actually never watched it. I'm gonna, but like it literally was up for awards. It had amazing reviews and you were like, I was bored or something. I forget.
Yeah, so that being said, there was a lot of elements too. And it appealed. And I think the other thing too is, and by the way, if you want to go back and listen to the spoiler cast, go for it. And I'll tell you everything you need to know about it. But the thing is, like at the end of the day, I mean, it appealed to everybody.
Yeah.
But you never saw Andy. Like, you never had any reference of Andy at all. So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. That's neither here nor there. I totally brought this on ourselves by bringing up Buzz Lightyear only because I wanted to check IMDb. So now let's get back to biopics.
But that being said, though, IMDb can be very, very deceptive.
Okay, but it's largely so accurate for my personal taste. Oh,
yeah.
Which
the majority. I'll preface it with that. Majority.
For Elise's personal taste, now, don't get me wrong. One of my favorite movies, I could tell you IMDb bombed in the review. Like, this happens with everybody, right? You'll be like, I loved this movie. And it'll have, absolute shit numbers. So I would say, I hope, anyways, I'm going to watch it. When it comes to Disney Plus, I'll watch it then. I'm not going to go to the theaters.
Well, it's only 6 weeks, so.
Yeah, you best believe I'm going to come back. I'll come back to the pod, and I'll probably tell you exactly what I thought about it, and I might actually like it, so we'll see. But, okay, sorry. Again, biopics. Here we go. So, biopics, one of the, in my opinion, the biggest crowd pleasers in Hollywood. Would you agree? Like, people love to see how a director and actors and producers end up, like, in summation, having a life of perhaps people that they grew up with, that they loved. So I feel like biopics are so important, but they're also very scrutinized.
Well, here's the thing. Biopics are one of the easiest things to make. Be absolutely honest here. I've always said, personally, every person's life is a movie. They've had love in their life. Yep. They've suffered loss. Yep. They've had adversity. They've had, you know, family. Okay, I digress. The point is, here's another thing too. The story's already written out for you.
Right. Correct.
So you don't have to develop characters or anything. So if you actually want to go back and listen to the podcast that I did with Brad Rochefort, he talks all about what a good character is.
Aha, okay. A good character is three-dimensional, and a good three-dimensional character lives inside a story. And let's work with those two things. First, we'll say, what is a three-dimensional character? So a three-dimensional character has a physicality, and it's a purposeful physicality, which is easy to picture if you picture Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger is very tall and very muscular. And you either play towards or against that. So in a movie where his strength is required, you're playing towards his strength, and you write into it, even if you don't know you can afford an actor of his stature. Maybe it's Dwayne Johnson, or it's the next iteration of that person, man or woman, young or old. It's a physically strong person. And you say, like, you know, this character goes to the gym more than they go anywhere else in their life, or whatever it is you describe in the details of the script. You give them a physicality that means something in the story, that they either have to do something very heroic. Or in the opposite sense, you know, you could picture Arnold Schwarzenegger like a kindergarten cop, where he has to go out to the kindergarten, and you say, okay, well, now is his physicality a hindrance? Because he's so much bigger than the children, it doesn't work for him, you know, or twins with Danny DeVito, where you play off that. So you give someone some physical characteristic that means something in the film, and it's not like a 100% requirement. This is just how you start to build a character, is that you purposely give them one physical element, and then you give them one sociological element. So your sociology is how you socialize. That means you have a low income, a medium income, a high income, or you're super rich, or you grew up in a house that was very small, or very poor, or very normal, or very upper middle class, or very rich, or you have them dress a certain style. You give them one or two meaningful elements. And these elements mean something with where you're taking the story, and you only have to pick one or two things. And you only have to describe them once or twice, and the audience and the reader goes, okay, now here's a person of a certain physicality. They're very this or not very that. And then I can understand where they fit in society. And then you give them a mindset, a psychology. So we said a physicality, their physical self, a sociology, where they fit in the social world. And then a psychology is their mindset. So are they an optimist? Are they a pessimist? Will they change from one to the other? Do they have a worldview? Do they have a perspective on something? And you let the audience in to the person in those three singular things. And you say, okay, I know a middle-class person who is of very average height and weight and who has a very average mindset. I know that person. You can make your character like glass of milk, middle America, plain light bulb, regular. And that is a character.
Okay, so maybe you have the recipe. Maybe you have this recipe, right? That doesn't mean that the movie sells. It doesn't mean that it's good.
No. And you're right. But all I was getting at is the fact is that the
story is already there. People. Yeah, this shouldn't be hard. Okay, so I'm going to ask David a question that he didn't know I was going to ask, but I just thought of it. As our encyclopedia of movies, David, what would you say are some of the worst biopics? Just off the top of your head. They were not good. They could have been great. And they just dropped the fucking ball. What is it?
Wow. Well, I think one that's underrated.
Okay.
It was made 30 years ago. Is Silkwood.
I don't know
with
that.
Meryl Streep.
What was it about?
So Meryl Streep played this character, Phyllis, I want to say her, but don't quote me on her first name. Her last name was Silkwood, and she actually worked at a plant. Kurt Russell was actually in it. She worked at a plutonium plant and is purposely contaminating, psychologically tortured, and possibly murdered to prevent any secrets. So, yeah. She actually got nominated for an Academy Award amongst her many Academy Awards.
Because it's Meryl. And A, she deserves it. I mean, I can't even trash her for this. Anyways, continue.
But underrated. Like, when you think of Meryl Streep, this is not the first thing you think of. You may think of The Iron Lady. You may think of Julia and Julia. You may think of all these other movies. But you're not thinking of Silkwood.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen and everybody beyond the binary, check out Silkwood because I haven't watched it. I want to watch it. I love anything Meryl. Also, now that we're thinking and talking about it, she's done a lot of bio things. She's played a lot of people. So,
yeah.
Okay, so I can't think off the top of my head of a really bad. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that was, I saw it years ago. That would be a great, and it's hard to believe next year is going to be 40 years.
Right. Well, okay, so you have wrote us some lovely pod notes because David is the organized person. Again, he's the encyclopedia. So we have some good things to talk about, including genre. So literally every genre has biopics, and we need to talk about at least like the different ones. Like we have everything. The first thing that comes to mind for me is always music for some reason. But I know there are other ones because there's like major people in history and all these things. So go ahead and like tell us the genres. And I might have one to add. I can't remember if you added it or not. So go ahead.
So we have six or seven genres. Crime. Okay. This could be something like The Irishman a couple of years ago on Netflix.
Which I didn't watch. It was like 4 hours.
I know. I've got to sit down and watch that myself.
You haven't either. Okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah. We're going to have to do some shared watching to really understand this. Okay. So Casino.
Okay. Okay. I didn't know Casino was a biopic. I didn't know that. I haven't even seen Casino.
Well, it actually, so the way Scorsese did it, it's about De Niro's character. That is the bio that he was a real person in the 1980s. And all of these characters you see, they were all real characters in the game. And this actually happened with the Teamsters, with Philip Green and everything else.
Okay.
So, anyways.
Casino, wait, so we're talking about historical, sorry, what was the genre?
Yeah, it was crime.
Okay, crime, yes, okay, love. Crime, biopics, and you said Casino, The Irishman, which also I didn't know was a biopic, real quick. So I'm learning things as well as the audience of, you know, however too many people that watch it. And so what about, I'm trying to think of other crime now that we're talking about it. Wasn't there like Al Capone?
Yeah, The Untouchables.
Oh, was that Al Capone?
So there's two different movies.
Okay.
The Untouchables with Kevin Costner and Robert De Niro, okay? And then you had Public Enemies with Johnny Depp playing Al Capone. I saw that years ago, but that was, so the second, so that actually comes into another genre I'll get to in a minute. So the second one was action, American Sniper.
Okay, yeah. War maybe military, yeah. But not always?
Yeah, that's probably a better. Bloodsport.
Never saw that one.
I love Bloodsport. 1980. So actually that is based off of Frank Dukes. Frank Dukes created a whole separate martial art after. So the premise is he actually goes to Thailand or Hong Kong, and he actually competes in this full contact.
What's it called?
Or it's called the Kumite.
Oh, okay.
And the Kumite, it's full contact. And there's two or three ways you can beat your opponent. Number one, you knock him out. Number two, you knock him off the platform. or number three, you make him submit. And he holds some of the craziest records ever won. So, for example, the fastest kick to knock somebody out was 87 miles an hour.
Wow. Okay.
He knocked out 55 consecutive people in one tournament.
Well, shit.
I mean, just it goes so.
So Bloodsport, everybody. I need to watch it. This sounds right up my alley. You know me; I'm a big violence fan. So, so Bloodsport, yes, action, good. Let me.
So you talked about musical, okay? Name some of the musical ones there.
Okay, so we love the ones that come to mind immediately are Obviously, Ray Charles.
Ray Charles.
Yes, obviously, Georgia. And then Walk the Line about the Man in Black. Yes.
And actually, so this tells you how good it was. Number one, Jamie Foxx could have actually won two Academy Awards that night.
And I don't remember if he won. He should have.
No, but he won for Ray. But okay. He didn't win for Best Supporting Actor for Collateral.
I forgot about Collateral.
He would have been the only man ever to win two Oscars in the same night.
Oh, that would have been so cool. I have to say, though, I don't think it was Oscar worthy. I loved Collateral, though. Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah,
that's if you actually want to go back and listen to my whole Tom Cruise podcast, we talk about all of his movies from Mission Impossible to Steel Magnolias, Bohemian Rhapsody, Raleigh Monk ended up winning the Oscar for Best Actor.
I thought he did an incredible job. I loved it.
I believe wholeheartedly that's why he got the villain's role in No Time to Die.
Which I was disappointed that he was not utilized more. I thought he could have been a great villain. And we can't go on the tangent, David. I know we want to, but I think he could have been utilized more. He was scary and he could have been way scarier. And I like why did they even have him? They didn't even need a villain. Anyways, sorry. We can't. This is neither here nor there.
No, that's okay. Rocket
Music,
Man.
Rocket Man. It was okay.
Underwhelmed?
I was a little underwhelmed. I thought, okay, so the approach was perfect given that it was Elton John. It was very theatrical. It was all out there. I thought that What's-His-Face did an amazing job. I don't know why I can't remember his name. He did incredible.
The guy from The Kingsman.
The Kingsman. And yeah, so he did great. And I'm not saying that the performances were bad, but I'm saying that I felt the pace and there was something about it that just didn't scream Ray and Walk the Line level. It just wasn't, in my opinion. And neither, honestly, Bohemian Rhapsody also falls under the Ray and Walk the Line. Like, there are just... Okay, but we also have to remember there's Great Balls of Fire. Isn't that the name of the... That was amazing, and it totally depicted how...
Dennis Quaid
was amazing, and I love and hate that they had to depict the fact that he, like, had the hots for his niece, who was Winona Ryder. Was it his niece?
Yeah.
In real life, like the...
Yeah. I'll give you another one that nobody ever talks about. 1987, La Bamba.
No, wait. La Bamba, yes. Okay, what about the Selena biopic? Yeah, Jennifer Lopez, and I Will Raise You, a Coal Miner's Daughter with Sissy Spacek. Absolutely one of the best. I'm still waiting for a good Patsy Cline biopic, and I don't know why we haven't gotten
because
one.
Because it's not going to sell.
But she should have
People
one.
Don't want it. People
why not?
Don't, no, but no, I'm just why? Saying. To your point, it's about what people, how many times, and I said this the other, like last week, how many times have people greenlit films and you go, what the fuck were you thinking? And then there are other times where there's a great story and everything's there and you go, how come you're not greenlighting that? The answer to your question is,
I feel like
it's not.
You don't think that Patsy Cline's a good enough story.
Ask yourself this question. Who does it appeal to?
It appeals, okay, I grew up arguably with parents that had incredible music taste. I am a very rare millennial, mid-millennial, not elder and not little, millennial that knows about Loretta Lynn, Patsy Cline, the Judds, I know about these people. And so I care. And I would love to think that if we made, well, here's another thing. How about this? I'm just going to like switch gears for 2 seconds because it would appeal to the boomers. Let's be honest. It'll appeal to the boomers and Gen Xers who listened to what their parents or grandparents were listening to. Sure. They're growing up as a kid. I didn't know who Loretta Lynn was. My parents did not, in fact, listen to Loretta Lynn. They did listen to Patsy Cline. So as a child, I watched Coal Miner's Daughter, which had Tommy Lee Jones in it. And I love that. And they even had Patsy Cline in it as a character because they were friends. And I was like, oh my God, Patsy Cline, I know who that is. But I learned as a child who Loretta Lynn was. And I suddenly became invested and I cared about her music. So I think there is value in creating biopics of people that the generations like my generation that doesn't know who Patsy Cline is probably and Gen Z, they will. They'll be like, why is there a biopic being made of this person? I feel like the smart ones will want to know. So that's my argument. But I agree with you. Nobody knows who it is. So anyways, I feel like we did all the music ones I can think of. Do you have any more?
Off the top of my head. But so one of the next categories, and this is all for the guys, is sports. And there are plenty of, well, I mean, for the majority. So she just roasted me because of something I said earlier. But so, okay, the majority.
You missed, by the way, one of the best biopics for sports. I will tell you what it is after you talk about the ones that you listed.
I bet you a quarter I got it. So
tell me which ones you have.
I'll bet you it's Hoop Dreams.
Mm-mm.
Really?
Nope.
Okay. I stand corrected.
No.
By the way, that is one of the best.
All right. So no.
That actually, in all fairness, that's more of a documentary. Okay, so Concussion. This is,
I didn't see it.
If Will Smith was gonna win an Oscar before what he did King Richard, he should have won the Oscar for this.
It should have been Concussion? Yes. Okay. All right. So am I adding that to my list real quick since we're making lists now of things I need to watch? Okay. Concussion.
So this is a really critical movie. And the reason is this doctor, he found this CTE is what it's called. Chronic. It's having to do with the brain. Okay. So, well, okay. But
yeah, I know what it's about. I think everybody knows what it's about, right? Well, hopefully. It's just about football and how, like, literally everyone is, like, getting concussions.
Exactly. So the whole premise is the National Football League, even to this day, does not want this to come out because it's a billion-dollar industry and it would ruin them. And I'm not talking just the professional. I'm talking about the colleges. I'm talking about Pop Warner. I'm talking about everything. Anyways.
So you're saying this picture was very important, too. Like for the public health.
Sure. Huge.
Okay. I see you also have, isn't it Jackie Robinson that was number 42?
Chadwick Boseman.
That's pretty, didn't see it either, but my mom loved it.
There's a scene at the,
is that good? Okay.
It shows you the humility. So the late Chadwick Boseman, of course, everybody knows him from Black Panther and, you know, everything else. But one of the great roles he played was Jackie Robinson. And you just see the humility of a man having to go through, even when he was traded, by the way, Harrison Ford plays in this, which is fantastic. But regardless, he plays this man with this humility, having to sit at the back of the bus, having to, you know, all of these denigrating things. And then even his teammates, when he gets to Brooklyn, is finally see the light at the end of the movie, but it's like, oh my God, this man went through so much and he meant so much for the thing of baseball.
And everybody, I mean, everyone should know the name Jackie Robinson. Like growing up, I might not have known anything about the character, the person, the real life legend, but I knew the name.
He's probably,
and that's important.
He is probably the most important. We can all talk about Willie Mays and all these other names, Hank Aaron, but he was the most iconic person. That's why we have a Jackie Robinson Day, plain and simple.
I didn't know that we had a Jackie Robinson Day. So these are things I'm learning. Okay. All right. So I need you to tell me the other ones you have, because I like that you said this is for the boys, and yet I have things to add to this list, and I'm excited to rub it in your face. So go ahead and tell me.
So police, when I say police, I mean like American Gangster with Russell Crowe and Denzel Washington, which was Bumpy, was an actual person. And this was back in the 1970s.
No, wait. We're not doing police. We're still on sports. I'm telling you.
Oh, I have one that I probably just thought of, but yeah, go ahead. I think I knew.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the one I just thought of. Great minds think alike.
Yeah. Okay, but like, how could you not? That's like one. I have seen that movie. It was a childhood movie.
Watched Sean Astin.
Several times a year. Sean Astin, and everyone thinks he's Samwise Gamgee, but no, he's Rudy. Literally one of the best. I loved it so much. I have so many quotes from it. Okay, so we got that. I would argue Chariots of Fire.
You know, as funny as a kid, I walked out of that movie not knowing any better. I mean, I was with my parents because I wanted to say, you know, I wanted to see.
You didn't like it. But I would say that's biopic. Okay, all right. On the subject of running, we have Prefontaine. Also one of the ones that I loved. No,
Fontaine.
There's a couple Prefontaine. Fontaine. Yeah. So there's that. I grew up watching that because I had a very runner family. So, you know, all the running picks. And then we also have Moneyball.
I totally, yeah.
Come on.
That is probably.
I mean, this is why I'm your co-host.
As a matter of fact, I was watching clips of that today. This morning.
It's amazing. Jonah Hill outdid himself.
And it
loved
was just,
him in that.
The script was so, so good. And to think that
it was so incredible.
Billy Bean changed. Literally, I mean, we were talking about Jackie Robinson. He literally changed how baseball was viewed. That is simple. And, you know, I mean, today it's, you know, buy as many good players as you can. But back then it was, okay, we're going to train, you know, do this, that, and the other. And yeah, money. And actually, a little stat.
Okay.
The Oakland A's still hold that record today.
I didn't know that. Okay, so I need help as to whether, I don't think this one that I thought of, I don't think it's actually a biopic, but there is a biopic about Pistol Pete, the basketball player.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that one too. Okay. I'm just wanting to like make sure everybody in the audience is keeping count of how many biopics I know about sports and how this is just for the men. Yeah, no, I just wanted to bring it up. Okay.
I'm never going to live this down either.
We have Glory Road. We have things like Glory Road. That's also that's based. I feel like that's based. It might not be like absolute Coach Carter based. Not completely, maybe completely accurate. But yeah, I think I made my point. And those are all great movies. I personally love a sports biopic movie because I grew up in a very sports family. So I am, Miracle and Titans. Remember the Titans? Come on, you guys. Literally, I love sports biopics. Anyways, all right.
Herb Brooks.
These are good ones.
Actually, you know that he was... So, okay, little trivia. He was actually but he was an assistant coach of the 1992 Pittsburgh Penguins when they won their first back-to-back Stanley Cup.
Oh, I didn't know that. Ooh, Invincible! Vince Papale! All right, I'm done. I will just come up with more and more. Okay, but we love sports. All right, on to police. Police biopic.
American Gangster, as I said. I mean, just... what Bumpy did and how, I mean, just those two guys playing off each other was just really good. I mean, Denzel being Denzel is just, you know.
Yeah.
A movie that really doesn't get enough love. And there's one scene in it that just, he just flips a switch. Black Mass.
What? Never saw it.
Black Mass is one,
Wait, is that a police biopic?
Do you know who Whitey Bulger is? Okay. Whitey Bulger. So growing up in Boston, I know all about this. So bear with me. So he was.
You grew up in Boston?
Yes. Yeah, so,
David, I didn't know that. Okay, go ahead.
See what she's learning about me, and she's known me how long? Anyways, so the point. So Whitey Bulger was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. Actually, he was number two behind at the time. He was number two behind Osama bin Laden. So there was like a $15 million reward out from the FBI. Anyways, what ended up happening was his brother was in the Senate, okay? And he had an inside guy at the FBI. So what the FBI was playing, he would give him tips, okay? Bulger would give him tips to make arrests so he wouldn't get hit. And then Bulger would go out and do his thing, and just he had a whole crew. And it was Southie and everything else. And eventually, Billy Bulger, who was his brother, okay, had to step down from the Senate because – and he was the chancellor of University of Massachusetts for several years over. And it was a conflict of interest. Subsequently, what ended up happening was he's on the run. And so about 10, 12 years ago down in Santa Monica, he gets – and he'd been all over the world. So when he fled Boston, he went to like non-extradition countries and they actually nailed him down in Santa Monica in an apartment with his girlfriend where he had hand grenades, bullets, M16s. I mean, he was armed to the hilt.
Okay, low-key, I feel like I've heard this. I feel like I heard about the bust. I feel like I heard about the bust. So wait, does Denzel play that
person? No. So Johnny Depp plays Whitey Bulger. That's in Black Mass.
Oh, okay.
Denzel. Yeah. I love that movie. It's so underrated. But no. But that now I knew the story, but
doesn't that make you more of a critic? Yeah,
to a certain extent, but it was one of those things where if you want something to show how if Johnny Depp is really good, Google the steak scene.
Yeah.
The steak scene. Okay. Anyways. But so Denzel Washington actually played a very good role in American Gangster. And that was how he played off. Yeah. So that was a really, really good movie. I mean, there's so many.
I can't think of any other police, though, other like real. But that's a good genre because I feel like it has enough. It has like you need at least two or three movies. I feel like that's what you got. Okay. So political.
Now, this could be any. No, I was going to say this could be any presidential movie. Nixon,
mm-hmm.
You know, JFK, all the president's men.
Manchurian Candidate. I'm just kidding.
No, you know, on the outside. I think the one that everybody looks to as being the perennial one is Lincoln.
Now, listen, David. I think you're just a really big Lincoln fan. I liked Lincoln. I saw it one time. I don't feel the need to see it again.
I've only seen it twice.
Okay, but I thought it was okay. I thought it was pretty good. Like, okay, but like.
It was the act.
But you're right.
I mean, the fact.
It was the best.
Daniel Day-Lewis deserved that Oscar. Hands down. What Spielberg did, right. Well, I mean, the fact is that Spielberg, and we taught, if you want to go back and listen to our Steven Spielberg podcast, where we talk all about Steven Spielberg movies, I have this at number 4 or 5.
Yeah, David fangirls about Lincoln for like so long.
I mean, look at the cast. Daniel Day-Lewis, Sally Field, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I mean, just having to put everything together. And you're talking about, this isn't a war movie. This isn't like Saving Private Ryan, okay? This is a political movie because you have to look at what it was about. It was about the end of slavery. No,
I know. We know this, David. I just feel like it's good. There are other ones out there. Like, what about the one about Dick Cheney?
Vice.
Dick.
Yeah, that was.
Vice, I mean.
See? No, yeah. I mean, see, you didn't know I knew that.
But I feel
it
like
was good.
Dude, Christian Bale gained how many pounds to be in that? He's always gaining and losing.
Actually, the
so
next
many
year,
pounds.
Okay, and we're going to talk about this in a couple minutes. You ever seen a movie called The Big Short? Do you know that that guy, he's not only, I mean, that's why I made it, it's on the list as far as biopics. That guy had Asperger's. That guy actually went through all of these documents and said, there's something wrong here. And he tried to warn people. And
so, okay, real quick, that's Christian Bale's character, right?
Bale is an amazing
actor.
Think about how much weight he put on for American Hustle.
and also lost for the machinist, you know, like he was living off of cans of tuna and apples. Okay. But wait, that's neither here nor there. We got to stay on track because both of us love to tangent. Okay. So we got politics. There's a bajillion things that we could talk about because I almost feel like there are so many political adjacent biopics, but I feel like we have to focus on the ones that are on like very specific people. And okay. So
you talk about the last category.
All the President's Men. Okay, go ahead. Oh.
Last category.
Yeah, let's go to drama. Honestly, I don't want to talk about politics anymore. All right, drama, go.
One of Michael Keaton's best, I mean, I will say next to Spotlight.
I loved The Founder. I had to think for a...
Next, no.
Go ahead.
No. Next to Spotlight, that's his best role. I know they got out there Beetlejuice and Batman. Next to Spotlight, that's his best role. Next, Birdman.
Birdman was amazing. Okay, all right. All right. All right. I can agree with that. Okay, but like real quick, back to The Founder. I feel like it was underrated. Like it was not hyped enough and it was incredible. Like he did the guy transitions into villain story so well. I mean, that's Michael Keaton for you. It was so good. Okay, and then why do you have J. Edgar under
Because drama? It really was a drama. If you think about what he went through and how he basically had to keep everything secret. I mean, let's face it. I mean, he recorded some of the most powerful men of the time. Okay, the Kennedys and whoever else. The fact is, and I mean, they now, I don't know this to be true or false, but there were rumblings, if you could construe it, that it looked like he was gay. So not only are you, he's the most powerful man in America, but you have the juxtaposition of that.
I mean, he might have been.
So you're talking drama.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I agree. Now I would.
Leonardo DiCaprio ended up getting nominated for that for the bazillionth time. No, as he should have. I'm not denigrating that. I'm just saying that he got nominated.
Well, speaking of Leo having to almost win Oscars all the time, I would say under drama, The Wolf of Wall Street and Molly's Game both log under drama because that's really what it was about, wasn't it? Like, is this giant amount? Yeah, the to-do of it. The fact that they disrupted something. It's the disruption is really what this is all about. And the disruption for obviously Wolf of Wall Street was Wall Street and also just debauchery in general. And I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies. I have it in my top 30. And then, of course, Molly's Game. I don't know what it is about that film, but I love it because I think I love me a woman especially that is hustling and she really, really tried to do above board for a long time. And it's like she got caught in the undertow with the mafia and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, Jessica Chastain's amazing. I would say Molly's Game is considered drama because again, this became this like, it was all over Us Weekly. It was a big thing. This woman is hosting stars and billionaires and sheiks and actors and all these things like in poker games that nobody knew about. And literally people are bringing Monets to the poker game as collateral. Like that's just some good ass like gossip drama right there. That's stuff I want to hear about.
Two things. Number one, I go back to the drama. You want to talk about a fanboy movie, Steve Jobs.
Yes.
If
okay, we did talk about this, and I need to see it. I need to see it.
Michael Fassbender wins the Academy Award that night. His career is altered completely because he didn't, and Leo did. And listen, Leo absolutely deserved it. He absolutely deserved it. I'm just saying because the fact is that there's always that 1A performance. You have number one that wins, and then 1A is like they could have won. Okay. If Fassbender wins that night, is because DiCaprio was already a star. If you take a look at the roles that Fassbender did after that, Dark Phoenix, Assassin's Creed, The Snowman, and he is nowhere to be seen. And he's a great actor. He's a great actor. And Danny Boyle was not, oh my God. And Kate Winslet, of course, everybody remember Kate Winslet from Titanic. Anyways.
Yep.
But
yeah, Steve Jobs, drama, absolute drama for sure, just because like Apple essentially is in total control of most of our lives. And the founder was literally one of those people that you could dress up for as in Halloween and people would know. That's how iconic.
Well, I would also say this about Jessica Chastain in Molly's Game. So she had two – I mean, I'm not talking about the 355. We won't talk about that. But what I'm going to say is the life of Tammy Faye. Did you see that?
Oh, gosh. It was amazing. No, she deserved –
I was so happy when she won because she deserved it.
Oh, she did an incredible job. No, she absolutely did that. Biopic right there. Yeah. And also drama. Zero Dark 30. Amazing. Yeah. No, Jessica Chastain. I mean, get out of here. Get out of here, Jessica Chastain.
But really, so getting back to really these biopics we're all talking about really started in the 1980s. I mean,
okay.
Raging Bull, at the time, now, Raging Bull, when it was released, is one of the films in black and white. But, you know, I mean, we look back on it today and it's classic, and it is a classic. But that was really the first major biopic. I mean, you know, and then you had Silkwood, which we spoke about earlier, and Amadeus, 1984, won Best Picture, people. So, you know, and once that started... Then in the 90s, you had, I mean, the two that I thought of off the top of my head was JFK. Regardless of what you thought and how it went down or whatever, it was still a good dramatic biopic in general. And of course, the 1993 masterpiece known as Schindler's List.
Possibly the most iconic biopic of all time, for sure.
I've said it plenty of times in plenty of other podcasts. That is Steven Spielberg's masterclass, hands down. Hands down.
Hands down. No, 100%. Love that. Okay. So I love, though, that, David, that you know how biopics started in the 80s. Like, this is something I would not have picked up on. Why do you think they only started then? Now, oh, and are you sure?
Well, I won't say, I don't know he's 100% sure about anything, but I will say that if a movie is done well, then people are going to respond to it. And it was huge. And you have to look at who was behind the camera. Martin Scorsese had done Mean Streets. He had done a couple of other movies, and they're like, okay, this guy's got it. I mean, he's one of the Mount Everest. And so that being said, a lot of people just thought it was about a boxer. They didn't know it was a real person per se. Because it's not, you know.
It's incredible when you watch a biopic. I've done this where I did not know it was a real person story. So I imagine that's exactly what happened to everyone that watched it. We're like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is such an incredible story. That was me in Cinderella Man. Like, I was like, oh my God, really? Like, because this is one of my mom's favorite movies. It's one of the best, like, you know, like roller coaster of like so famous and rich, the depression. Can I get my family out of it? I'm literally just trying to feed my family. Like, it's heartbreaking. It's incredible. And those are what biopics are all about. It's like the human experience, but like times 100 because they are famous.
And so in the 2000s, really, I mean, you were just talking about Russell Crowe, but A Beautiful Mind. I mean,
yep.
Catch Me If You Can, which I know you're a huge fan of.
Yep.
The Aviator, Walk the Line, a movie that I loved. And that a lot of people didn't really give it as much love. Invictus.
Invictus was good. It was so good.
It was great.
It was great. You're right. I know. It was underrated, for sure. Underrated. Okay.
And then once this is building momentum and people are seeing, okay, these are films people want. 2010s. I mean, these are just five. The Social Network.
I loved it. I own it. I watch it all the time. It was one of the most.
I mean, just it really did. The Big Short, which we talked about earlier. Steve Jobs, which, yeah, Lincoln. And then what you were talking about earlier with Moneyball. But it's just like, you know, so all these movies that we've named and talked about over the past hour, they have a couple of things in common. Number one, they're obviously all about people. People, they all are, you know, everybody has their own individual, and that makes important. It's not like I can take her story and she can take my story. And they're about everybody has different, not only flaws, but adversity, they've gone through, they've loved, they've lost, they've gone through adversity. They've been, as you called it, the roller coaster, up and down and back.
Often publicly, well, actually, I mean, most of the
time. So that being, and a lot of people forget about it, like a Tammy Faye. And so that being said, when you have these things and they're done well, people just gravitate toward them. And, you know, so the other thing, and I'll say this too, is when you have something, and I don't like to call them fads, but for a span of time, you will see four or five biopics come out. And one movie that we didn't even discuss that was, I love, capital L-O-V-E, me, Sim David will wrestle.
What is it? Hit us.
Joy.
I have no idea what that is. Oh, I loved Joy. I loved Joy. I've seen Joy.
I mean, that cast, all you had to do was take Silver Linings Playbook and, you know.
And then transition them over to this movie. I mean, Bradley Cooper did amazing.
Or what do you think American Hustle was?
Yeah.
You had the fighter.
I know.
And you had Silver Linings Playbook. And yep, let's put them all together. And that's what it was.
I mean, there are directors that love to work with the same people. I have to say, though, Joy wasn't better than Silver Linings Playbook, in my opinion. But I would say it was.
It really was. But that's just, so all that being said, though, it's one of those things where they, if it's done well and it's written well and everything else is working, it's going to be successful. And so when you have successful things, people, studios just gravitate toward them and they go, okay, we're going to make more of these things. But they have to choose, they have to choose the right people. And that's so, so important. Because if you choose, well, if you choose a run-of-the-mill person, you're like, okay. You have to have somebody, everybody, whether they like it or not, everybody loves a redemption story. A Cinderella man, where he goes to jail, and then he comes back, and then he does it. They love that. Steve Jobs, where he loses Apple. And he gets fired from Apple, and then he comes back and makes $1 billion+, and he saves the company. I mean, so.
Well, everyone wants to feel like if they screw up, they can come back from it. Like everyone, and it's an underdog situation. Aren't we all underdogs, like at some point, you know, where we're like, I don't, you know, they want to see. It's the human, like you said, it's the human experience. And I think that that's everything that biopics are about and like why they're so important. And I agree with you that casting is king. Like if you, and I'm blown away at some of the casting. Jamie Foxx sounded and looked exactly like Ray Charles. Like I am so surprised that Joaquin Phoenix sounded like Johnny Cash. Like it blows my ever loving mind. I will always, so I'm excited to see Austin Butler take on Elvis. I mean, I'm sure it is not lost on him that this is maybe one of the biggest music undertakings ever. I mean, Elvis is even more of a recognizable name than maybe every other music person we've mentioned. Like Elvis and Dolly Parton. Like, there are people who've never heard their music. They know who they are.
No, and that's the thing. What you said earlier, he defined a generation. I mean, the only other thing you can really think about maybe would be the Beatles. But, you know, so, I mean, that's the only other one. So when you...
That's the only other one is Elvis and the Beatles.
So,
like,
I mean, this is going to be... Now, I'm kind of hesitant. And the only reason I say it is, it's 2 hours and 39 minutes. And you take out 8 minutes for credits. Now you talk about a 2.5 hour movie. I love me some Tom Hanks, but how much can he really carry it? So I'm really curious to see.
Well, and our beloved Tom Hanks.
Austin Butler. I mean, is he going to be able to? And we'll find out, but it's just.
Apparently he stayed in character, which annoys me. Like, I don't like hearing that because can you imagine having to work with somebody that's just being Elvis at all times? That makes me nervous for this movie. If I were a literal, like any other character in this movie, I would be like,
you know who else did that? No.
Yeah. Everybody, like literally, well, not everybody, but yeah, no, I know who did it. Heath Ledger for the Joker. We had, I'm sure actually Joaquin Phoenix probably did it. He's a method actor.
But that's how they work.
No, but a lot of actors and actresses who are very,
you know, fun and games. And that's, but, and they can do that. I mean, it depends on the person, really. I mean, so.
It does. No, but what I was going to say is, though, is that there's a lot of very credible actors and actresses that are award-winning, Oscar-winning actors, actresses that say method acting is bullshit. That it's not real and that it shouldn't be something that people do. Jared Leto. Jared Leto's like, I'm going to be the Joker and I'm also going to method act. Like,
No. But you bring up an interesting point, though, because there are Academy Award winners like a Jack Nicholson, okay, that can play it one way completely. And then you have a Heath Ledger who stays in character the whole time. And we see what we get in The Dark Knight, arguably the, you know, and then you see what, you know, Jared Leto, what he does, and it's like, but it's not just that one person. It's the story that falls down. And so if the story is crap, then let's face it, the whole movie is not going to work.
That's very true. Jared Leto's character was written so poorly that maybe if it had been written better, he might have been revered for
it. Look at the trailer for the Suicide Squad. That's it.
Okay, the trailer was actually phenomenal, in my opinion. I was so excited. And then I was like, oh, you bamboozled us. Okay, wait, David, we're running out of time. So we got to put this all together and wrap it up. And then we got to tell these people how they need to follow us. And they need to also check out our Patreon, because we literally, like, give us money. Like, we're geniuses. We know what we're talking about. We need to have really cool guests. So, like, sponsor us. And I don't want to tell you exactly what all the different sponsorship levels are. You can find that out. Go to Patreon. Literally, like, if you like what you hear, don't just listen for free. You could, I guess.
The link will be in the description box.
Yes. Description box. Yes. Excellent. Follow us. Hit the follow button. And then go to your girlfriend's phone and go to their podcasts at all the places where you can find podcasts. We are there. Real Talks, R-E-E-L, Talks. Look us up, follow them on their phones so that we get more numbers so that we can keep going, because we have information you guys need if you like movies. That's just the bottom line. And I also have really cool guests.
So coming up on the podcast, as I said, I'm going to go see Elvis tonight. The spoiler cast will be up on Friday next week. Actually, for the roundup, we've got a very special guest coming up. I will introduce him on Thursday, so the big reveal will happen then.
Well, give us like a one sentence of why.
So he's a member of the Hollywood Critics Association. So that's all you need to know, which means he's a professional. He is where we are trying to get.
Yes, I can't wait. I can't wait to hassle him, because that's what I do. I'm just kidding. It'd be nice, I guess.
So on Friday, we got Flashback Fridays coming up. This week is going to be, I think, a top five MCU movie, film subjective, Captain America Winter Soldier, save the MCU in my opinion, but that's a whole other thing for another time. Next week, we have horror movies. And you go, what? At the end of June? Why? There is a little movie that's going to be coming out that I'm dying to see. It's called The Black Phone. And anybody who knows about this movie, go Google it. And if you know about it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The synopsis is basically that Ethan Hawke is a child killer and he kidnaps this kid. But here's the twist. There's a phone in the room where the kid is being held and it rings a lot. And it's all of the other victims that he's killed. So.
Okay, so I have not seen the trailer, and you just.
But yeah, so.
You just blew my mind. I'm so excited. I love horror. I didn't always, by the way, everybody, I did not always like it. I have to say, horror has never been better than now, in my opinion.
So, anyways, but yeah, so that's coming up. And then week after that on Flashback Fridays, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy, and then we're just going to keep going on. The end of July, I've got a special guest coming on, kind of my thing. But since she likes Molly's Game, I'm going to tell you who it is. It is, and you may be very impressed with my getting this guy. His name is Chad Holowell. And the name doesn't ring a bell, probably. Poker News Executive Editor, USA. 2013 WSOP World Series of Poker. Bracelet winner. 2019 Poker Industry Championship winner, nationally syndicated poker columnist.
Now, for everyone out there that doesn't know this, David is a massive poker fan because he was molded by the movie Rounders. So anything poker is extremely of interest. And I enjoy poker, so I get it. And I like it.
And I hope she joins us for that, because that's going to be a blast of an interview. And yeah, so that's going to be fun. And then we got great things coming up for the rest of the summer. Beginning of July, guys, we got Thor Love and Thunder. We got, you know, a bunch of other stuff. Don't forget, at the end of July, we got this little horror movie, too, coming out by Mr. Jordan Peele called Nope. And we have to sit down. I've got to sit down and watch Get Out and Us before then. So, yeah, we've got a ton of stuff. And then, you know, moving forward in the awards season, we're going to get more stuff going down the road. So, you guys, like she said, the Patreon's going to be in the description, okay? Flashback Fridays is free. You know, all of this content is free. I am trying to put together for the 4th to start. Kind of an interesting date, Mob Mondays. That way we can do mob movies. I mean, I don't know if she's a mob girl, but that would be a interesting dynamic there. So, anyways, all that being said, I'm David Steele. And she's Alyssa Ivers. And you, Alyssa Ivers. See, I always get her name wrong. And so this is Real Talk.